From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the book of Judges. Today, he continues the final message in that series. Dr. Cairns is showing how the scriptures reveal Samuel's character and his ministry as the spiritual leader of Israel. Following many years of declension and apostasy on the part of the nation, God raised up this man to call the people to repentance and revival. He was a man who lived in constant fellowship with God, one who had access to God when no one else did. Then Samuel exhibited consistent faithfulness to God. He put the Lord's honor before everything else, including friendship or personal gain. He always sought for the glory of God. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called Samuel the Seer. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for today comes from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Without shedding of blood is no remission. This is the voice of unalterable truth. In none of the Jewish ceremonies were sins, even typically, removed without bloodshedding. In no case, by no means, can sin be pardoned without atonement. It is clear, then, that there is no hope for me out of Christ, for there is no other bloodshedding which is worth a thought as an atonement for sin. Am I, then, believing in Him? Is the blood of His atonement truly applied to my soul? All men are on a level as to their need of Him. If we be never so moral, generous, amiable, or patriotic, the rule will not be altered to make an exception for us. Sin will yield to nothing less potent than the blood of Him whom God hath set forth as a propitiation. What a blessing that there is one way of pardon! Why should we seek another? Persons of merely formal religion cannot understand how we can rejoice that all our sins are forgiven us for Christ's sake. Their works and prayers and ceremonies give them very poor comfort, and well may they be uneasy, for they are neglecting the one great salvation, and endeavoring to get remission without blood. My soul, sit down and behold the justice of God as bound to punish sin. See that punishment all executed upon thy Lord Jesus, and fall down in humble joy, and kiss the dear feet of Him whose blood has made atonement for thee. It is in vain when conscience is aroused to fly to feelings and evidences for comfort. This is a habit which we learned in the Egypt of our legal bondage. The only restorative for a guilty conscience is a sight of Jesus suffering on the cross. The blood is the life thereof, says the Levitical law, and let us rest assured that it is the life of faith and joy and every other holy grace. Oh, how sweet to view the flowing of my Savior's precious blood, with divine assurance knowing He has made my peace with God.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. As for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final, by Alan Cairns.
Samuel, in many ways, was a second Moses. He knew the secret of the Lord in a day when nobody else seemed to know that secret of God. He had access to God in a day when the heavens were as brass and they were shut up to the nation, including the vast majority of its religious leaders. I tell you, it is a sad day in a nation's history when it has preachers, pastors, religious leaders who have no access to God, who come, but they speak with no message. They can recite the product of their learning. They can give you the insights of human theorists, but they cannot conduct you to the throne of God. They cannot give you a message that is alive with divine power. They have no immediate access to God. It is a sad day in a nation when its preachers have fallen to that terrible condition. And I would say to you as you look across this nation today, that is the condition in the vast majority of churches. That's the condition that is so oppressive to the entire spiritual needs of this people. Oh, for a Samuel in every pulpit, that God would raise up men who know their God, who will be strong and who will do exploits, men who have such a close and constant fellowship with God that they are of immediate usefulness to the people to whom they minister. You remember when Saul came searching for the asses that were lost, came to Samuel. Samuel knew all about it before ever Saul came to him, and was able to say to him, "The asses are found. Now stay, stand still a while. I'm going to speak to you a word from God." Later, when Saul disobeyed the Lord in the matter of the Amalekites and kept what he said was the best of their sheep and oxen alive, and he spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, for some time, he came out to Samuel and said, "I have obeyed God. I have done all that the Lord told me." Immediately Samuel put his finger on the problem. He said, "You haven't obeyed God." And he went down the details of Saul's terrible disobedience. He knew, despite the protestations of Saul, what the truth was. Then in the anointing of David, he knew this was the son of Jesse that was to be the great ruler of Israel. 1 Samuel 3:21 sums it all up. "The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And from that day, when God first revealed himself to that boy in the tabernacle in Shiloh, Samuel walked with God. It is a very scriptural thing for Christians, A, to pray for their ministers, for their preachers, and B, to pray that God will raise up preachers. Jesus gave us that command even in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest. So it's scriptural for Christians to pray in those ways. I would say to you, when you pray for this preacher, you pray that God will give an access to him, an understanding of the mind of God, a comprehension of the will of God, so as ever to come before the people of God with a living message from the Lord, not merely with so many facts and figures, not merely with so much theological truth, but with a message from God. If I come to a man who's starving to the point of death, I could come and recite truth to him. I could give him what is, I suppose, by this time, the only thing that I can ever remember from my geometry classes. I could tell him Pythagoras' theory or theorem. Wonderful. That'll not put any life back in his body. It's true, but it's not the message that he needs to hear. You know, that's what's happening across the land. We have people dying for want of a living message from the living God. And preachers are coming, and very often what they're saying is true enough. They're spending their time on this fact and the other fact and this movement and the other movement, but all the time what is lacking is a living, vital message from God. You need to pray that, as far as this preacher is concerned, it'll be the message. When people come to this house with burdens and needs that I know nothing about, what they hear will touch their heart, feed their soul, meet their need, strengthen them in Christ, and send them out the better equipped to serve their Savior. That others coming in without Christ will find a John the Baptist message as a finger post pointing them to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then as you look across the nation to pray for the harvest field and for the in the name of Christ that he will raise up laborers, pray that God will give us men in our pulpits, in the Free Presbyterian pulpits, in the fundamentalist pulpits, in every Bible-believing church, that God will give us men who are living in a close and constant fellowship with the Lord. It's a sad commentary in church life today. Many preachers are so busy in church work that they have no time to pray. No time to pray. We pride ourselves that we don't read our prayers. We don't read a liturgy of somebody else's prayers. But I would suggest to you, and this may come as a shocking statement in a fundamentalist separatist church, but I believe it, that an awful lot of our fundamentalist preachers who are so busy that they can't pray their own words would do an awful lot better if they were to set aside time and even as sincerely as they could start to read and recite the prayers of former ages and men from former times. Better than no praying. Seems to me a little bit hypocritical to be pointing the finger at people who read their prayers if you don't pray anything worth talking about yourself. And that's what's happened. Too busy to pray. Is it any wonder that the cause of God today in America is very similar to the cause in Israel as Eli reached the end of his judgeship? Is it any wonder that the enemy seems to be able to come and go at will? When God's men are not living in vital, close, and constant fellowship with their Lord. Pray that God will raise up preachers like Samuel. But of course, it comes a lot more personally to you than that. You not only pray for others, but you start to ask the Lord this for yourself. The need for God's people is that they will live in that kind of fellowship. We believe, as Protestants, in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that there is a place for every one of you in the service of Christ. You're a part of a living, functioning body. It is yours to serve Christ. Therefore, it is your privilege, not to say your duty, to be a Samuel, to be living in that close and constant fellowship with the Lord. I'm sure that Samuel could have got so busy that he didn't have time to pray. I'm sure Samuel could have got so busy that he was so overwhelmed with work that he had to just say good morning to the Lord and good evening and that's it. But he didn't. He lived in fellowship with his God. The secret place, as we'll see in a moment, was vital to Samuel's life, spirituality, and service. He lived in the Lord's fellowship. The second thing we'll notice about him is that he exhibited a constant faithfulness to the Lord. Now, this started when he was just a child. The Lord started Samuel out in a very difficult way. You've heard about being thrown in the deep end. Well, this is a classic example. He was just a boy. The Lord spoke to him. Samuel at that time didn't know the Lord. He didn't even know it was the Lord speaking to him. It's exactly what happens when the Lord starts to speak to a person to bring them to Christ. They don't know what's happening to them. Conviction of sin sets in. They can't begin to understand it. Later they understand it, as did Samuel. But finally, when he understood this was the Lord speaking to him, the Lord gave him a message for Eli, a message of judgment. Now, Eli was a second father to Samuel. Eli had reared him in the tabernacle for years. Eli had taught him the word of God. Eli had been preparing him for his place in the service of God. But the Lord gave Samuel a message that he was going to perform against Eli such devastating things as would make all the ears of the people who heard to tingle. The next morning, Eli says to Samuel, "What did the Lord say to you?" And it's interesting that the Lord gave Samuel the grace to hold absolutely nothing back. He started faithfully. If you follow him through his life, this is a pattern. Take King Saul, for example. Saul was anointed by Samuel and then rejected by the Lord. And Samuel had to go to Saul and tell him, "You've disobeyed and you're rejected, and the kingdom is taken from you, and it is given into another man's hands, even David's." What made that particularly difficult for Samuel is that Samuel had a very special personal regard for Saul. He was deeply attached to Saul. And yet, despite that, he stood before this man whom he dearly loved. And in the Lord's name, as he did with Eli, he delivered him the message without fear, but without favor. Then, as we read tonight, as he reviewed his whole life, he says to these people, "Come forth and witness. Whom have I defrauded? Whose ox have I stolen? Whose ass have I stolen? Whom have I oppressed?" And they said, "You have not oppressed us or defrauded us." He was absolutely faithful in his dealings with men. He took no bribe. He did not enrich himself by the ministry. He did not use his position merely to make life easy for himself. He did not abuse the things that God had given him. It's easy to say that, you know. But what I'm talking about is a faithfulness to God that is very rarely seen. First of all, I want you to see this. Samuel put the Lord's honor before friendship. I could bring you to circumstance after circumstance, case after case, in churches where the minister and the elders, or the minister and the deacons, as the local church government may be set up, would be willing to deal with the sin of this poor little character. But they will wink at the sin of some great man, some rich man, some influential man, some personal friend. Samuel put the Lord's honor before personal friendship. He put the Lord's honor before personal finance. Samuel had the opportunity to live like a king. Some of the other judges of Israel had actually flourished so much that they did live like kings, but not Samuel. He put the Lord's honor before his personal position. Samuel was not in business to be a great man. He was not in business to have great personal power. He was not in business to extend his influence through patronage among friends. Samuel was in business to glorify his God. That was his only motivation, the glory of the Lord. He was consistent in his faithfulness to God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.